Let us enter into a time of shared prayer. I'll direct your attention to the prayer quilts. There are two this morning, and when you leave this room, you'll pass by them. And so stop and tie a knot, sign their cards, say a prayer so that they can be wrapped in our love. So I invite you to open your hearts, open your minds, open your hands, and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Dwell among us and in us. Fill our hearts and minds. We invite you in so that our doubt and selfishness may be displaced by your compassion and abundant love. When our tanks are full of your message, we can readily respond to the needs and hurts of this world from a place of generosity and kindness, rather than self-defense or blindness. Help us to remember to start every day seeking your face, seeking your examples and your holy word. When we are fearful or lonely, fill us with your gentleness and strength. When we are wrapped in you, God, we are fortified to be your hands and feet in the world. Lord, we bring many needs before you this morning. Help us to be in tune with your will, to be patient for your answers. We know you hear us when we pray. We ask for your healing on those who are sick, tired, for those struggling with mental illness or addiction. Help them feel the sunshine of your hope. It may feel like a whole world away, but we seek your intervention, healing, and mighty strength for our brothers and sisters facing the coronavirus. Help them, heal them. We know you will not abandon them. We pray too for your church, its leaders, and its vision. Direct us and help us to live out your teachings. We pray too for our community and our nation, that its leaders would be clothed in your righteousness and led by compassion for all people. Lord, we want to hold on to love, but to do so, we must let go of hate. To be emboldened by your love, we must release our fears. In this silent moment, we offer to you, God, the concerns of our hearts. We try to let go of our heartaches and disappointments. We invite you to fill us up with your love. Hear our silent confessions and requests. As a community of faith, we unite our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson this morning is from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was very young, my mom dressed my sister and I in matching clothes. Anyone have that? Oh, yeah, we got some matchers out there. So we would go to church in matching dresses. When it was picture time in school, our picture showed up. We had matching jumpers on. When we would come home from school, this is way back in the day, we would take off our school dresses and put on our play dresses. Dresses that were kind of straight, A-line with pockets, big pockets in the front. My family camped a lot, and so when we go camping, my mom would pack for us matching shorts and tops. All of these things were made by my mom. Now, I would tell her she was going for something cute, but that isn't true. We had things of just the most bizarre colors and patterns because I really think she just got material that was on sale. And there was no frills. It was all very simple and straight. It was practical. Mom was economical and efficient. I'll just make two of them at the same time. So as a young child, I don't remember any time of rebellion. She would just tell us what to put on and we would put it on and we would look the same and I have the pictures to prove it. We just did. But as I got older, I started to notice fashion trends. And I was smitten with the fashion trends of the day. Some will remember, some will not, but let's just talk early 70s. Wide collars with wide cuffs and puffy sleeves. I had a purple shirt. I had these pants that were purple and pink with vertical stripes. Earth shoes. Blue jeans that were huge bells that had fringe because you walked on the ends of them. I had mini skirts. At that time in high school, my skirts were wider than they were long, but I had them. I had a maxi coat. I just looked sharp. I moved from wearing, without even thinking about it, what mom told me to wear to what I could wear so that I could fit in. Now, if you're expecting that the next jump I'm going to take is to say, I don't care what people think today, that's not really true. Because this is where I've come to, is that the clothing that we wear tells a part of our story. It tells a little bit about our character. It tells a little bit about us. So the first thing, if you think back over all the clothing you've worn in your life, there may have been a time where you wore a uniform of some kind, military or a work setting. Anyone wear a uniform here? Okay, so yeah. So I saw dental, medical, military. Yeah, there are uniforms that people wear. Has anyone had to wear safety gear, the hat, the steel-toed shoes along the way? Yeah, so we have different uniforms that we might wear, and that's dictated perhaps by a career. We wear different things to keep ourselves safe. Does anyone run with like lights or reflective vests and shoes? You know, those kinds of things to keep us safe, so we put those on. Or if you've worked with food or you handle food, then you wear protective clothing to keep someone else safe. I'm looking back here at Matt. You were a battalion chief, right? Not anymore, but can you tell us how many pounds a firefighter may wear into a fire?
45 plus.
Okay, so 45 plus pounds wearing into to fight a fire. We all kind of have these different outfits that we've worn. But what we wear can also indicate cultural preference. It can indicate financial value. It can indicate our practices in our lives. And so, in a sense, what we wear is like a part of our autobiography. People see clothing, or maybe we're telling a story with that clothing. It's the visual autobiography. And we've all kind of chosen that along the way. Well, I want to just say in the Bible, there is an understanding the clothing gives message to. And there are lots of examples, but I'll just bring you a couple from the New Testament. In the gospel, there's this scene where Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee and he meets a man who is not in his right mind, possessed by demons. He's in a cemetery and he's naked. Jesus throws the demons out. They jump into some pigs and they run over a cliff and they go into the water. And the man gets fully clothed. It's as if the clothing becomes a symbol of healing in his life, a way that he will return to his community. There's another story, we call it the prodigal son. It's where a son leaves a family with half of the family's fortune, goes and squanders it, and then comes back asking for forgiveness. The father's waiting for him. The father welcomes him and then says, "Bring out the finest robe. Let's put that on him." And so they do that, and it's a celebration that the lost has returned, and it's a celebration with fine clothing. Paul does not miss a beat in talking about clothing in the letters that he sends to people. He sent a letter to Timothy to give instructions for the way women are supposed to dress. Now, some people have through the centuries looked at these instructions and they've said, well, you know, here's the catalog. You know, here's an idea, ladies, on how you're supposed to dress with hair and all of that. But we do need to remember the context, that in this context, women were experiencing freedom like they had never experienced freedom before. Because as Paul said, he said, in Christ, there is no Jew or Greek, there's no free or slave, there is no male or female. We are all one together. So women were kind of busting out of some of their cultural boundaries, and it was causing a ruckus, and it was causing people to question whether Christianity might be a place that they wanted to learn about. So Paul wrote to Timothy to bring people back into Jewish tradition. He said, I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves, not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, so they won't be mixed up with some of the others that are pagan, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. So Paul kind of pulls in looking at clothing as a symbol of what's happening to people spiritually. He also uses clothing as a metaphor. In Romans 13, he says, put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. In Ephesians 6, you might remember this, he writes, put on the full armor of God so that when evil comes, you can stand against it. So there's this understanding of in Christ, we put something on. So we've heard that today in what Tom read from Colossians. And so we look again at that first verse. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, chosen, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And in this text, whenever you see you, it's plural. So it's talking to the community of the Colossians, a newish church made up of Jewish diaspora in the present-day Turkey region. And so this is Paul's message to that church, is that you're going to put on something new. Now, you could imagine there might be some people who would say, change? Why do I have to put on something new? But often, we understand the need for putting on different clothes. We may have a job requirement. Remember back when there were like these serious dress codes? Did anyone ever have like, you know, white shirt, tie, suit jacket? Yeah, I got a few nods to that. Now, you know, business casual, someone was complaining to me that business casual can be translated into wearing your pajamas, and they're not real thrilled with that. But there are still even dress codes, even if they're not spoken, and we understand that for different events, we wear different clothing. We may not clean the garage with the same clothing that we're going to go to a funeral service. We just don't. You don't kind of mix them, maybe. But often we kind of separate out. And we don't often ask,
why, we can explain why we choose what we choose to wear, whether it's for comfort or out of respect or out of expedience, or we've got a day ahead of us that's going to involve a number of activities and this will fit. We can explain why. Now, that's most people. But since I've gotten married, I realize that sometimes you just can't explain why with clothing. So here's the thing that just amazes me is that George has one closet, okay? Well, all right, there are four bedrooms in the parsonage, and I have the closet that's in the master bedroom, and he has another closet by there, and then I have this closet too. So he has one closet, and he pulls the most amazing things out of there. And I say, why are you wearing that? And he says, well, it's perfectly good. I say, it was perfectly good in 1984. It's like, and I can tell what decade these things were bought in. You can't do that. Do I have an amen? Anyway, yeah. So I'm just amazed at what he keeps in that closet. It's like these, well, okay, I'll just tell you one thing. There's this light blue coat. And the first time I saw this light blue coat, I said, why? Why? And he said, because it is the perfect weight for a perfect temperature during the winter. You know, like he's got different weight classes. So this is the perfect weight for this temperature. It has torn cuffs and a worn out collar and a pocket ripped off. And seriously, it looks like he took a lawnmower motor and just hugged it to himself. It's got just like grease stains on it. And we have discussed this coat at length, this light blue coat. You can ask him about the light blue coat. Finally, we came to a compromise. He can wear it anytime he wants. He just can't leave the yard. And we're all agreed. When Paul said, put on new clothes, sometimes it was difficult because people had to say, well, why put on new clothes? But we get a hint when we look at the first verse of chapter 3 and a little bit beyond that. Paul writes, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You died, and you have been raised, and this is the plural you, and all of us put on new clothes in Christ. Now, these are different clothes than we used to wear. We are dead to sin and in new life. My mom worked at a tool and die factory for 30 years. She was able to retire at 65. And I asked her, I said, Mom, what's going to be different about now being retired? And she said, for 30 years, I have worn blue jeans. Every day, I will never wear blue jeans again. She changed her clothes because she was walking into a new life. And so Paul challenges the reader to look at the old way of living, the old clothes, and to put something new on because we are new, reborn in Christ. So he talks about what to put to death, all of our earthly nature. He says sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, idolatry. He suggests that we put away, take off the clothes of anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. He talks about not lying, but putting on a brand new self, a self that shows that we are living in the midst of Christ in a powerful new way. And so with that, we change. And you know, if we take off those vices, we find ourselves freer. Think about, you know, when you stuff a toddler into one of those snowsuits and they're like a starfish, right? And they can't move their arms or their legs. We start wearing those things like slander and gossip and hurtful language. We start lying and offering behaviors that hurt one another, and we get burdened down. It's like going into the back of your closet and moving forward, whether you have one closet or three like me, and just layering on as many clothes as you can, that pretty soon you're burdened. You're full up. Well, Paul says, it's time, take those clothes off. Because you are a new you and you get a new wardrobe. Now, when he talks about that new wardrobe, he's not talking as if it's going to be something that's like just a checklist. So if I'm good and I do the good things, then God will love me and that will be enough. The truth is that God loves us. God loves us. It's the bottom line. But what happens is when we start to reflect and live into that change, we change ourselves. And so we are chosen, we are holy, we are beloved, and we celebrate that when we put on those virtues, we are living into that. Now, sometimes putting on those virtues can be a little bit difficult. You know, it might get kind of scratchy, you know, you got to cut the tag out. Things might not fit quite right. But we put them on because we know that we have been changed. So what are some of the things that we can put on? This is what Paul suggests. We can put on compassion. Now, compassion means to share suffering with, kind of with, and then passion is suffering. So it's to be in suffering, traveling with someone. It's not just saying, I'm going to give you something, and so therefore I'm compassionate. Compassion is having a heart and accompanying a person who is in difficulty. Kindness and humility are not weaknesses of character, but they show our security in God. When we're able to put others first, it's because we know we are first in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And we honor, when we act in humility, God's creation. Not only those who are around us, but even our own selves. To act in gentleness is to be courteous. It is to be considerate. It is to waive what rights we claim so that others can live holy as well. And patience makes allowance for others. I was listening to a recording by Brené Brown, and she talked about these stories about learning in her life that most people are not out to get us, to undermine us, to make our lives difficult. In fact, most people are just doing the best they can. And to step back and to say, all right, that person just like I'm about at my last nerve, but they're doing the best they can, keeps us in that place of patience and grace. So how do we do this? How do we put these things on? Even if when we put them on, they're still a little bit uncomfortable, they're like newish and we haven't broken them in yet. Well, Paul says one of the first things we do is that we forgive one another. And this is in the community of faith, and we forgive not just as some kind of an emotional salve, you know, a Band-Aid on the wound. We forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Man, that's a kind of forgiveness where the memory of what we've done is as far as the east is from the west. That's a kind of forgiveness that brings us back to life. It's a kind of forgiveness that is an all-encompassing love. And that's what God does for us. And what Paul's saying is in community, in Christian community, all of us practice these virtues with forgiveness. He also suggests not only forgiveness, which is a freedom to grow, but that we also have the opportunity to put on love. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I like to think of it as just the right accessory, right? It's just the right thing that catches the eye, that holds the whole outfit together. And I know my accessories. Now, when George came in, I wondered how many accessories he'd bring. So I will just say he has a dish on the dresser that has like 3 tie clips. He's got a row of ties on a rack. They all look the same to me. He's got 3 pairs of shoes. Pshaw. I'll tell you, accessories. I've got a jewelry armoire and then 2 boxes on the dresser. I have a separate place for the scarves. I have the winter and fall shoes, and I got the spring and summer shoes. They're in 2 different locations. They need to be switched out. I got a lot of scarves. It's a very different way of looking at things, and this is kind of how our life goes. I get up in the morning, and generally I've picked my clothes out, and so I get dressed, but then I have to choose, like, my earrings. And so I start choosing my earrings. He gets up, gets dressed, goes down, starts thinking about breakfast, and I'm still choosing the earrings because you have the kind of the right ones. Can you imagine if when we got clothed, We had one accessory, all of us had one accessory, and that was love that would pull all of us together, pull all of those virtues that we're wearing. We put others' interests first. We rise above divisions. We seek peace with people. If we wear love, it will inform not only our heart, but our head and the life choices that we make. And Paul suggests that we do this in community, that we teach each other, we warn, that's admonish, we warn each other about wearing these old clothes and teach each other to put the new clothes on. And we do it in worship with psalms and spiritual sayings and songs. And we give thanks to God. And we grow together. But in verse 17, he goes even further. He says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through God the Father, through him. What Paul is saying is we're going to go bigger. We're bigger than just in the community of faith, kind of putting on the church clothes, the Sunday go to meeting clothes, and coming in and saying, this is where we'll be gracious and gentle. This is where we'll have humility and patience. But out there in the world, you can't, because you'll get chewed up. What Paul says is whatever word, whatever deed you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. You know, we get up in the morning and we might say to ourselves, what do I wear today? Does this look good on me? Does it fit? Is it the right thing for the event or the activities that I will be in today? Imagine if we threw those questions away and asked a question instead. Okay, what I'm putting on, the behaviors and the words that I'm using, would I be able to say this is in the name of Jesus? Yikes. Would I be able to think through what I do and say, does this behavior and these words show that I am thankful to God? Does it show thankfulness? If we ask those questions, then we begin to move out into the world in a way that not only is a blessing for us, but a blessing for others. So I do have a challenge, and it's kind of crazy, but I think it's doable in this world and culture of abundance. I invite you to go to your closet, or if you're like me, your closets, and pick out something that you have not worn or that you are wearing that you shouldn't be wearing. And if you have any trouble with that, your spouse can help. So find that thing, and give it a name that is a burden that you carry. That burden might be anger. That burden might be slander or gossip. It might be harmful words, or it might be deeds that ignore other people. Find the thing, that thing, that old piece of clothing that you want to get rid of, that thing you don't want to put on anymore, and put it on that piece of clothing, and then take it away, whatever that means for you, whether it means putting it in the Salvation Army box, or it means passing it on to some, whatever it is, move it out of your house and say, I am right now intentionally taking that old piece of clothes and giving it away in the name of Christ. I will not wear that. And here's the next thing. Now go to your closet and get that thing you wear all the time, and no one's going to make you give it up. It might be a favorite piece of jewelry. It might be that sweatshirt that has the school emblem. You might have a piece of clothing you just broke in, just broke in, and you've had it for 20 years. Oh, yeah, I've seen some of that. And go ahead and take that, or maybe a couple of those, and name those pieces of clothing, virtues. Can you imagine if you got up in the morning and you're getting dressed and you pull over your head or you button up and you say, I got my gentleness shirt on today. I am going to be intentionally gentle because I got the shirt on. I'm talking one of those pieces of clothing you have to wash every week. This is my gentle shirt. Imagine if you picked your favorite pair of socks and you put them on. You said, these are my patient socks. I am walking in the patient's socks today. Now, I know it's playful and I know it's kind of crazy, but think about what would happen if we intentionally and mindfully put on the new and take off the old. So I have one more story. Years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago actually, I was at the annual conference of the United Methodist Church. Pastors and lay delegates from all over Michigan were there meeting, and I was getting ready. Bishop Kesey was the bishop at the time, Deborah Kesey, and I went down to breakfast. I had breakfast with a couple of good friends, Sue Patu, who's from this congregation, and Deacon Loretta. Deacon Loretta's here. And so I had breakfast with them in the hotel, and then they drove off. Well, I went up to my room, and I'm moseying around, and I get a text from Loretta. And she says to me, "The bishop is wearing the same outfit you're wearing." So the first thing I did was I thought, man, she's got good taste. Then I thought to myself, what am I going to do? Do I walk into this conference where there are, 600, 700 people and I'm wearing exactly the same outfit as the leader of our church in Michigan, or do I change? I changed. I just didn't even want that hassle. But here's the thing that Paul suggests, is that instead of rejecting what our brothers and sisters in Christ are wearing, that we look carefully and we look for those who have new clothes and we say, I want to dress like you. I want to dress like you. I want to accessorize in love. It doesn't mean that the outfits are going to fit perfectly when we first put them on, because we've got to break them in. We've got to make them our own. But can you imagine if this community and the community that loves Christ, even in this town or this region, this state, this world, said, I'm putting off the old clothes. I'm taking off judgment. I'm taking off hatred. I'm taking off divisiveness. I'm taking off slander. I'm taking off gossip. I'm taking it all. And I'm giving that away. It's gone. And instead, I will put on compassion and gentleness and humility and kindness. I will put on patience and I will accessorize it all with love. Imagine how this world might be shaped if that's what we all chose to wear. I rebelled when I was a little kid about matching, right? At one point I just said, I'm done matching. I'm ready to match again. I'm ready to do that, because I truly believe that if we do, Christ will be known. Amen. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, you know what we wear. You know what we put on every day. Those things that we might call vices and those things that we might call virtues. Help us to put away the old, because we have died to the old. We have died to sin. And bring us to put on the new and to live in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.